Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night is be here with you, and thank you for sticking and staying with us. Of course, one of the voices you will hear tonight, as usual, is Jonathan Lowe. Of course, we have not worked together for what? I think we missed a Sunday together, Jonathan, but it's so good to hear that you're back, and I'm back, and I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing better. I was off a couple weeks ago. I had gotten sick, so didn't want to get anybody else sick around here. So 2 weeks ago I took off, and then last week you were off. So yes, this is the first time we've been on the opposite sides of the board in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's so true, but it's really good to hear your voice. You know, I had a chance to go to New York just to see the play, A Beautiful Noise, the Neil Diamond story. And, of course, the day after I saw it, Neil Diamond was actually on the stage singing after the show was over. And I just wish I could have been there that day to see him. But the music is so popular, so wildly popular. It's been selling out. People have been coming to this show. It's incredible, by the way. I was just stunned. And I'm sitting out in the audience with just around people I don't know, some people I do know, and we're all singing Neil Diamond songs. Oh, Jonathan, it was a blast. Do you like Neil Diamond songs?
Yeah, right. I'm not. There are a lot of people out there that are huge Neil Diamond fans. I'm not a huge. They're cool. They're good.
Let me tell you something. Everybody in that audience, from children to grandpas and grandmas, right, were singing these songs. Even the children knew some of the songs. And it was really quite remarkable to know that those decades that have passed have really truly affected those little ones or the younger children or the teenagers. And they're all singing it together with their grandparents and their parents. I just thought it was an awesome, awesome night. And the guy that's singing all the songs, he has really developed that whole Neil Diamond feel, right? So listening to him, it almost sounded like Neil Diamond, just almost. So I cannot tell you how much fun I had in New York just a weekend. I came in on Friday, left early on Sunday morning, and I feel like I was there for a week. I had a blast. So thank goodness I made it back safely.
Sounds like a fun time. I'm glad Neil Diamond has a market all these years later. I'm kidding. He's an American treasure. He is.
He really is. But,
you know, he's all right.
But the critics in New York did not like the show very much. And then all the other critics all around the world are just raving about it, and it's selling out every night. And I'm thinking, somebody had it wrong. right? Because the story was really special. I loved how they developed this piece. I loved how it came to fruition. And people just love it, absolutely love it. I mean, I would actually talk to a few of my girlfriends and go, hey, you want to go out there and see this piece? That's how great it was to me. And I don't own one Neil Diamond album. Can I just say? The bottom line is that you've got that, you know, little thing in your head that just keeps singing that song like Caroline. You bring up Caroline, it's just like, it's not going to be out of your head for 3 days. That's the bottom line. Oh. So is there any Neil Diamond song that you like?
I'm cool with Sweet Caroline. I'm cool with America. You know, like I said, I'm cool. It's all good.
Okay. Would you like to know how many songs he has written?
Oh, he's probably written. I would not be surprised if he has written, because not just his songs, but songs he's written for other people. I wouldn't be surprised if it's over 600, 700, maybe near 1,000. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Here's the thing that surprised me is that Neil Diamond wrote for so many people and a lot of us don't know about, just like you said. But also he wrote songs and sometimes he would start it and say, okay, I'm going to record this. And other times he said, nah, not that one. And each one of them had a really important piece in the show. And I think, how many songs did we hear in that play? I really don't remember, but oh my gosh, it was so much fun. And I think you would have a good time.
I'm sure I'd have a good
time. I laugh when I say that.
I'm sure I'd have a good time seeing it. I think if nothing else, you get swept up in the momentum of the crowd and the feelings of the crowd. If that show is not for you and you're going to come away with a bah humbug type of attitude, then I would just say just go. Just don't stay, because those are the type of shows that you're going to get a whole lot, like you said. People are paying to go see Neil Diamond. They're not paying to say, to go for an experience that's outside of the subject matter. They're not going to say, oh, the musicianship of this person, or, you know, dance numbers, or I really like the intellectual fodder of that entire piece. No, they're going because they love Neil Diamond and they want to see his work and his life basically characterized on stage.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And the set design, by the way, was very interesting, and I loved it as well. So I will tell you that he has sold more than 130 million records worldwide. 130 million records worldwide. That's just amazing, making him one of the best-selling music artists in history. Now, Billboard ranked him as the 25th greatest artist of all time, and that's according to the Recording Industry Association of America. Neil Diamond has sold 49.5 million albums in the United States, just the United States, right? I mean, he's the only artist to score a top 20 hit in every decade since the creation of Billboard's Adult Contemporary chart. Enough said.
Like I said, he's an American treasure.
See, but that's your way of saying they old.
No. You can become an American treasure just by the impact that you have on the people's lives, on what some people would call the zeitgeist. You know, Neil Diamond is a part of the American history and music. Now, and you said, you know, 25 to be in the top 25 artists of, what was it you said, Billboard's chart, Billboard's list, or was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be
mm-hmm.
in the top 25 of that list when it's been around for decades, you know how many artists have not only charted, not just the ones that have charted on Billboard, but all the artists that never chart on Billboard. You know, for every Neil Diamond, how many underground artists, how many artists that are more of a local or regional name are there that basically either were inspired by him and have the same type of musical taste, or they write similarly or something of that nature. It's to be in that top echelon of artists that have been recorded, that have music out there,
That's a really special thing. It is.
Yeah, and I've gone to see some artists, man, in the past, you know, even Motown performers. And I must say, I am not the one that usually screams out loud unless it's an artist that I just absolutely love. And I can't say that I loved Neil Diamond's songs, the songs that he did, even the soundtrack. Remember, he did two soundtrack albums for The Jazz Singer and Jonathan Livingston Seagull. You know, you can go over and over his work, but it really is like a, what do you call it when people can't get it out of their minds? There's a it's a name for that.
Earworms.
There you go. It's an earworm, man. It stayed. I tell you, that Sweet Caroline was in my head, you know, long after I got home. So there you go. So he's very accomplished. He really is. And I'm surprised at how much I loved this piece. I am surprised. I knew it was going to be good. I had no idea it was going to be great. So I really hope people will go and just keep coming, because they're really selling out every night. It's just such a blast. So there you go. Come on, Jonathan. You can go. Just bring a couple of friends and go.
I'm just going to leave the tickets available for the people that want to go and see Neil and love Neil much more than I do. I'm just going to leave that open. I'm not going to take up any of their space or their tickets. I'm going to leave it all open to them. That's how gracious I am.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. By the way, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. I do want to let you know that we're going to talk a little bit about, what is the deal with body cams and police officers? What is it? You constantly hear about the parents calling for the police to show them the video, show them the video. They're supposed to wear these vests with the cameras in them, yet people don't get to see them. They're sent really fast to, what is that called, the BDA or the ADB
in Minnesota, it's the BCA. It's the Bureau of
the
Criminal.
BCA, thank you.
Bureau mm-hmm. of Criminal, not apprehension. It's either administration or apprehension. I'll look that up during the break.
I think so, yeah. So let's take a break and we'll be back.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 7:21. Welcome back, everyone, to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do, is be here with you on a Sunday night. And I tell you, we just heard at the beginning of tonight's show, we were listening to some of the news bits that we have here at CCO. And one of the really important one was about these body cams that the police officers use. And we've heard about it over the years so much. And then all of a sudden it calms down a little bit until something happens and the family can't get the video, the lawyers can't get the video. They have to really go after it and stay on top of it until they get it. It really blows my mind. And here I read today, Jonathan, that when it comes to requesting the dash cam footage, what you have to do, it's under data protection legislation. And so the police officers must inform people that they're being filmed wherever possible. And the cameras feature a flashing red light to warn when recording is taking place. So that's one of the things families can do to help get this back, because they're supposed to inform anyone, you know, that they're chasing. They're supposed to inform them and the families that, hey, we filmed them or we are being filmed. They're supposed to do that. Yet we still hear so many problems about, you know, an encounter with police officers and there's no video cam. And I can't believe that. It seems like it should be every time. So it kind of blows my mind. When, as a African-American man, I know that you are very cautious, just like all the other black men that I know in my family, as well as my son. And I'm just blown away how cautious they are. Yet these things still happen to people who are cautious. Just blows my mind. What do you say?
It's a situation where a lot of times people are not trying to. They're not trying to get in that situation. When you talk about cautiousness, you're talking about taking steps to make sure that you don't put yourself in that position. But people are it's tough to explain, because people will do things in the hope of, okay, I hope I do everything right. And it may take 15 steps to get everything right. And if two of those steps go wrong, then everything goes wrong. Everything That's goes right. haywire.
And what are those two steps? Would you admit what those are?
No, it could be anything. I'm just saying it, if you're saying I want to do everything right and I have these 7, 8, 10, 12 steps to do everything right, but then one of those steps goes wrong, it could mess up everything. It could mess up the whole track of everything in the result ending up well for you. And so it's difficult I want to say this. I've been fortunate enough to not been put in that situation where the police need to have their camera on and need to tell me that things are being recorded. But the way that things have started to change in the world of policing, I think it's imperative. I think it's important that you have to be upfront, and you have to make sure, not just for the potential suspect, but for the officer themselves, that you are recording everything to the best of your ability so that everything can be told, all the truth can be told and be placed out there. And I don't know if that happens. I should say it's been proven that it doesn't happen in every situation. There are times when body cameras have been turned off, and it's been a detriment to not just the person that ends up getting harmed, but also the police officer themselves.
Yeah, but I don't understand. We were told a long time ago that when it comes to body cams for the police, they're supposed to be on, right?
Yes.
However, we keep hearing more and more about these situations where, oh, I'm so sorry the camera wasn't on, I forgot. You know, that kind of attitude. I don't understand that. If it's mandatory, make it mandatory. If the police officers don't have it, because it's supposed to be for them to be able to show their truth, right?
Yes. Yes.
Because so many times the parents or the friends come out and they say, no, you did not treat them right. I saw it this way. The body cams are supposed to give us the truth. Yet so many times we hear from police officers, oh, I didn't have it on, or, you know, in different states, cities, communities, neighborhoods, you name it. We start to hear something. Oh, I forgot to turn it on. Do you really? Do you really? And my understanding is the company LensLock, their body cams, once they are turned on, they're on for 12 hours of continuous recording time. How is it that you don't get to have just about everything on there? And so many times we hear, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot to turn it on, or we haven't found it yet, or it was blurry. And we were talking about the BCA. So tell me, what does that stand for again? I know it's apprehension.
Yeah, it's the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and that's just it. The Minnesota thing. So in other states, you'll
it's
have...
It's just a Minnesota thing? It's not all over the country?
I think it's you have similar groups all over the country, but they're named different things. When you're talking specifically about the BCA, that is a strictly Minnesota organization. I believe there are similar. I believe there are similar organizations across the country. They're just named differently. They're not all named Bureau of Criminal Apprehension.
Really, I'm surprised at that. I thought it was the BCA everywhere.
No, no. let me see if I can find a similar, like in Wisconsin or the Dakotas or Iowa. Let me see if I can find a similar group and what they're called.
Okay. And of course, we only have a couple of minutes to even talk about this. So I want to let you know that our first guest tonight is Tori Hansen. She's the senior corporate project planner for Hands-On Twin Cities. And if you don't know what Hands-On Twin Cities is, I encourage you to go to HandsOnTwinCities.org and check it out, because what they do is quite interesting. I'm looking forward to talking to her about it, especially during this whole season of Christmas and holidays. I mean, there's so many holidays that people are celebrating in December, and I'm so looking forward to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and all of it. I'm just really looking forward to it. And I hope you all are too, whether it's some of the other sacred faiths, and you say, hey, I want to really participate in that. I want to do that this year. Because it's been a while for me. It's been a while for me to be in church of Christmas Eve or any of the days before. So I'm really going to try to do that. I remember one time going to the Basilica to hear something, and forgive me, it was something during Christmas, and I can't remember which day it was, but I do remember being in that space with another family and really enjoying it, learning a whole lot about it. And just recently, the Steeles, my family, we had a chance to sing at the Basilica. And it's been a very, very long time since we have been able to do that. And it kind of reminded me of that time. So there you go. All right, Jonathan, are you there? Did you find anything?
Yeah. Again, this is going to be a Wikipedia page, so grain of salt. But they do have a list of basically what they call them as a group are State Bureaus of Investigation, or SBIs. So in Wisconsin, it's called the Division of Criminal Investigation. In Iowa, from what I'm seeing here again on Wikipedia, it's called the Division of Criminal Investigation. In Kansas, it's the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. So it's that same flashpoint of a state bureau of investigation, but it is called something different in each state.
How about that? That's good to know. I did not know that. I thought it was the BCA just about everywhere. So there you go. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with some weather soon. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Steele Talk. And I am your host, Geraldine Steele, and I'm excited for my first guest tonight. Her name is Tori Hansen, Senior Corporate Project Planner for Hands-On Twin Cities. I've never heard about it. Now, during this holiday season, many people are looking for those great gifts to give to their loved ones. And we're going to dig into that later in the show. But right now, though we focus on another type of giving, the holidays are a good time to share our time and fortunes with others. So what are some of the ways that you can give back to others? Well, Hands-On Twin Cities provides connections to volunteer opportunities around the metro. And to learn more about this organization, we welcome Senior Corporate Project Planner Tori Hansen. And she joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey now, how are you, Tori?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us, or waiting with us as we move forward tonight. Hands-On Twin Cities. I went to the website, handsontwincities.org, and I started to learn about volunteering. This is an organization that has a lot to do with volunteers, correct?
Yeah, we are the volunteer connector in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to inspire, equip, and mobilize a movement of people to make a positive difference through the community, through engagement and service, and volunteers are a great way to do that.
Who are your partners that you work with to help get this this whole group of people to really get out there and volunteer?
Yeah, we are truly a connector. So we are an intermediary. We work with hundreds of nonprofits, corporate groups, individual volunteers who are wanting to give back both in the holiday season and throughout the year. So kind of everyone is our partner, which is really fun space to work in, just really bringing people together.
What I love was some of your pictures that I had a chance to see, and they're of all ages. You've got young people there. You've got older people there that are really waiting to give their gifts when it comes to volunteering. Have those large groups of volunteers grown since your inception?
Yes. So we are 103 years old, which is amazing. So we've had lots of growth throughout our lifespan as an organization. We've seen lots of changes throughout the volunteer sector, especially as we ease out of the pandemic. We're seeing groups being willing to come back in person, wanting to get together again to volunteer and get back together to network and just celebrate being together again. And what a better way to do that than to go out and help someone else or an organization that really needs some hands.
You know, the thing for me is I really wanted to talk to you guys tonight because I'd never heard of you before. And yet you are touching so many lives and getting so many volunteers involved. Do you also feel as though a lot of Minnesotans really don't know a lot about you?
Yes, we joke that we're the best kept secret in the Twin Cities, but we are working to change that. Our website is such a powerful tool for anyone. It's free for nonprofits to post their needs. It's also free for anyone to use as they're looking for volunteer opportunities. The Twin Cities is the number one metro area for volunteerism, and we're so proud of that fact. But that also makes it a little intimidating sometimes to try and find a volunteer opportunity that's a good fit for you. So our website has a searchable database feature, so you can search by a zip code, you can search by a date if you know you want to volunteer on a certain day. If you know you want to volunteer in a certain cause area, for example, you want to volunteer with seniors or you want to volunteer with youth or animals, all of those are search engines that you can put in. You can put in an age restriction if you want to volunteer with young folks. You can put in wheelchair accessible if you need that accommodation. There's so many options that you can put into that, and it really helps narrow down what would be a good fit for you.
You know, on your website, it says that you are committed to shifting the culture of volunteerism to be more inclusive, anti-racist, and rooted in an understanding of power and privilege to create more equitable communities. How is that going?
It's hard work. The volunteerism space has a lot of unlearning to do and a lot of unconscious bias in it. But we are committed to the work. Our partners are committed to the work. We have a lot of folks who are excited about the things that we are doing. We have a podcast on our website that has some really amazing content around this issue. We also have a few panels that we've done. Our bold conversations really dive into the power dynamics that exist within the volunteerism sector, how saviorism plays into volunteerism, and how it's really on the individual volunteer to combat those and educate ourselves before we enter communities to volunteer so that we're not perpetuating the harm that has been done to those communities.
What are the ages that you're looking for in a group of volunteers?
We are open
What's the one that really matters?
Anyone, any age. I always say you are never too young or too old to volunteer as long as you're finding something that is a good fit for you. And we have opportunities on our website that are great for young folks with families, things you can do at home if you're not comfortable going out into the community at any point. We have at-home volunteer guides that make it really easy to give back from the comfort of your own home. Just so many things. There's lots of virtual opportunities still where if you're not feeling like you want to venture out yet for whatever reason, lots of our seniors need phone calls and all of that. So honestly, any age, we welcome those. And we are partners. Each one has a little bit of a different requirement on their age groups, but there's an opportunity for every single person in our community.
Can I just say that I'm standing a little bit taller because there is mostly, almost all of those that are employed there are women. It's only a couple of men on it. And, of course, the board of directors, I've been going through that as well. Has it been difficult through the last years, the last 10 years, has it been at all difficult for you for all the things that have been going on in a nation that have challenged all of us? Has it been difficult to get the volunteers?
I think the pandemic made it challenging for every nonprofit to connect with volunteers, but we really saw people have a deep, deep longing for connection during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We engaged just as many volunteers, and they were just as dedicated. We had to get creative about what volunteering looked like, as did all of our partners. But people were longing for that way to connect with their community. And so we are so proud of our community here and our volunteers and spirit. And we saw that shine through.
It's been so interesting because so many people are asking for more volunteers. So many nonprofits need them so desperately. Yet, if it seems as though the youngest generation of young people, especially those that are between 18 and 35, it's been really hard to get some to get involved, and others have been involved for even longer than that. So, what have been some of the tools that you use to try to make sure that we can get as many of them as possible to volunteer for this organization?
Yeah, we're seeing that the youngest generation, Gen Z, engages differently than the other generations that we have previously worked with. So getting creative on how to communicate with that generation and the younger folks in our community and really recreating what volunteerism can look like. We know it's not just going out to a food shelf and packing food. That's incredibly important, and we'll always need that. But volunteerism also looks like advocacy work and education and shopping local and voting. So just getting more creative on what we consider volunteerism, widening that scope to make it more inclusive so that everyone feels like they can connect with that word of volunteerism, because the work is happening. Sometimes we just don't think of it as volunteerism because it's not the way we traditionally think of that.
You know, the work that you're speaking of is really quite powerful. Yet there are so many people who are walking away from jobs, not applying for so many jobs. I mean, there are corporations that still need a lot of employees. And as we sit back and we look at that, some people complain and say, oh, these are just lazy young people. It's not. They want to make sure they get a living wage. And here you have so many volunteers that are dedicated to you. How long would you say, do you know the volunteer that has been with you the longest? And if so, how many years?
You know, I don't know that. A lot of our volunteers just go through us to find another volunteer opportunity. We're really that connector. But I know there are people who have been volunteering their entire lives.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Steele Talk. And I am your host, Geraldine Steele, and I'm excited to for my first guest tonight. Her name is Tori Hansen, Senior Corporate Project Planner for Hands-On Twin Cities. I've never heard about it. Now, during this holiday season, many people are looking for those great gifts to give to their loved ones. And we're going to dig into that later in the show. But right now, though we focus on another type of giving, the holidays are a good time to share our time and fortunes with others. So what are some of the ways that you can give back to others? Well, Hands-On Twin Cities provides connections to volunteer opportunities around the metro. And to learn more about this organization, we welcome Senior Corporate Project Planner Tori Hansen. And she joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, now, how are you, Tori?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us or waiting with us as we move forward tonight. Hands-On Twin Cities. I went to the website, handsontwincities.org, and I started to learn about volunteering. This is an organization that has a lot to do with volunteers, correct?
Yeah, we are the volunteer connector in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to inspire, equip, and mobilize a movement of people to make a positive difference through the community, through engagement and service, and volunteers are a great way to do that.
Who are your partners that you work with to help get this this whole group of people to really get out there and volunteer?
Yeah, we are truly a connector. So we are an intermediary. We work with hundreds of nonprofits, corporate groups, individual volunteers who are wanting to give back both in the holiday season and throughout the year. So kind of everyone is our partner, which is really fun space to work in, just really bringing people together.
What I love was some of your pictures that I had a chance to see, and they're of all ages. You've got young people there. You've got older people there that are really waiting to give their gifts when it comes to volunteering. Have those large groups of volunteers grown since your inception?
Yes, so we are 103 years old, which is amazing. Mm. So we've had lots of growth throughout our lifespan as an organization. We've seen lots of changes throughout the volunteer sector, especially as we ease out of the pandemic. We're seeing groups being willing to come back in person, wanting to get together again to volunteer and get back together to network and just celebrate being together again. And what a better way to do that than to go out and help someone else or an organization that really needs some hands.
You know, the thing for me is I really wanted to talk to you guys tonight because I'd never heard of you before. And yet you are touching so many lives and getting so many volunteers involved. Do you also feel as though a lot of Minnesotans really don't know a lot about you?
Yes, we joke that we're the best kept secret in the Twin Cities, but we are working to change that. Our website is such a powerful tool for anyone. It's free for nonprofits to post their needs. It's also free for anyone to use as they're looking for volunteer opportunities. The Twin Cities is the number one metro area for volunteerism, and we're so proud of that fact. But that also makes it a little intimidating sometimes to try and find a volunteer opportunity that's a good fit for you. So our website has a searchable database feature. So you can search by a zip code. You can search by a date if you know you want to volunteer on a certain day. If you know you want to volunteer in a certain cause area, for example, you want to volunteer with seniors or you want to volunteer with youth or animals. All of those are search engines that you can put in. You can put in an age restriction if you want to volunteer with young folks. You can put in wheelchair accessible if you need that accommodation. There's so many options that you can put into that, and it really helps narrow down what would be a good fit for you.
You know, on your website, it says that you are committed to shifting the culture of volunteerism to be more inclusive, anti-racist, and rooted in an understanding of power and privilege to create more equitable communities. How is that going?
It's hard work. The volunteerism space has a lot of unlearning to do and a lot of unconscious bias in it. But we are committed to the work. Our partners are committed to the work. We have a lot of folks who are excited about the things that we are doing. We have a podcast on our website that has some really amazing content around this issue. We also have a few panels that we've done. Our bold conversations really dive into the power dynamics that exist within the volunteerism sector, how saviorism plays into volunteerism, and how it's really on the individual volunteer to combat those and educate ourselves before we enter communities to volunteer so that we're not perpetuating the harm that has been done to those communities.
What are the ages that you're looking for in a group of volunteers?
We are open to anyone.
What's the one that really matters?
Anyone, any age. I always say you are never too young or too old to volunteer, as long as you're finding something that is a good fit for you. And we have opportunities on our website that are great for young folks with families, things you can do at home if you're not comfortable going out into the community at any point. We have at-home volunteer guides that are make it really easy to give back from the comfort of your own home. Just so many things. There's lots of virtual opportunities still where if you're not feeling like you want to venture out yet for whatever reason, lots of our seniors need phone calls and all of that. So honestly, any age, we welcome those. And we are partners. Each one has a little bit of a different requirement on their age groups, but there's an opportunity for every single person in our community.
Can I just say that I'm standing a little bit taller because there is mostly, almost all of those that are employed there are women. It's only a couple of men on it. And, of course, the board of directors, I've been going through that as well. Has it been difficult through the last years, the last 10 years, has it been at all difficult for you for all the things that have been going on in a nation that have challenged all of us? Has it been difficult to get the volunteers?
Pandemic made it challenging for every nonprofit to connect with volunteers, but we really saw people have a deep, deep longing for connection during the pandemic. We engaged just as many volunteers, and they were just as dedicated. We had to get creative about what volunteering looked like, as did all of our partners. But people were longing for that way to connect with their community. And so, we are so proud of our community here in our volunteerism spirit, and we saw that shine through.
It's been so interesting because so many people are asking for more volunteers. So many nonprofits need them so desperately. Yet, if it seems as though the youngest generation of young people, especially those are between 18 and 35, it's been really hard to get some to get involved, and others have been involved for even longer than that. So, what have been some of the tools that you use to try to make sure that we can get as many of them as possible to volunteer for this organization?
Yeah, we're seeing that the youngest generation, Gen Z, engages differently than the other generations that we have previously worked with. So getting creative on how to communicate with that generation and the younger folks in our community and really recreating what volunteerism can look like. We know it's not just going out to a food shelf and packing food. That's incredibly important, and we will always need that. But volunteerism also looks like advocacy work and education and shopping local and voting. So just getting more creative on what we consider volunteerism, widening that scope to make it more inclusive so that everyone feels like they can connect with that word of volunteerism, because the work is happening. Sometimes we just don't think of it as volunteerism because it's not the way we traditionally think of that.
You know, the work that you're speaking of is really quite powerful. Yet there are so many people who are walking away from jobs, not applying for so many jobs. I mean, there are corporations that still need a lot of employees. And as we sit back and we look at that, some people complain and say, oh, these are just lazy young people. It's not. They want to make sure they get a living wage, a living wage. And here you have so many volunteers that are dedicated to you. How long would you say, do you know the volunteer that has been with you the longest? And if so, how many years?
You know, I don't know that. A lot of our volunteers just go through us to find another volunteer opportunity. We're really that connector. But I know there are people who have been volunteering their entire lives, and those people are such an inspiration.
Yeah, the United States, you know, we are known for volunteering, right? I just volunteered the other day with an organization that I just got associated with, and I cannot tell you how wonderful it was, how great it felt. It's like a family. It becomes like your family when you're there. Even if you don't see the same people every time, it's something really special about being connected to a nonprofit. So I just want to make sure I know and understand this. You not only work with nonprofits, but you also work with corporations, correct?
Yes, we do.
And so is there a difference in how you train those for nonprofits and train those for corporations?
Our corporate groups tend to be groups who are volunteering together. And so we look for opportunities where they can go as a team to volunteer. And we do all of that heavy lifting for the nonprofit, knowing that they have a full-time plus job. And sometimes those volunteer groups are incredibly helpful and also take a lot of time to create a meaningful opportunity for them. So our team goes in and does all of that legwork behind the scene to make sure that everyone has what they need to volunteer. And we have two ways of engaging primarily with corporate groups. We have the corporate projects team that I am on. We do that more traditional volunteering where we will go and paint walls and beautify landscapes and remove invasive species, or we will pack kits for nonprofits. We also have a pro bono program, which connects skills-based volunteers to nonprofits who are looking for some of those skills that corporate groups really have, and they can work deeply with a nonprofit or a BIPOC-owned small business to address the challenge that they are facing and share some of the knowledge that they have from their day job. And that's a really powerful connection as well.
My final question for you, Tori. Of course, on your website, it says dig deeper when you have the options on what to click on. Of course, that really piqued my interest, right? And it's called One City, Two Realities. And you say here on your website, help us get past Minnesota Nice and into the place where we can address the systemic inequality in our community head on. First of all, I applaud you for that. And I just want to know how it's going.
Yeah, it's going really well. One City, Two Realities is an incredible experience. It's a virtual exhibition space. It's actually the world's first virtual reality or virtual exhibition space. And it tells the story of how living in Minneapolis is a very different experience if you are a person of color versus if you are a white-bodied person. And it opened my eyes to a lot of things. There were a lot of things in there that I'd seen the statistic before or I'd heard the statistic before, but I hadn't stopped to think about how pervasive it is and how much the deck is stacked against people of color and how many barriers exist in Minneapolis alone. So it was truly eye-opening for me, and I recommend it for everyone to go through. It's like going through a museum on your computer. So definitely recommend that. If you're interested in learning more, we would love to have you reach out because, like I said, it's a really cool experience.
And is this something that you talk to the volunteers about?
Yeah, we try and loop in racial equity conversations to all of our volunteer groups as it pertains to the volunteer opportunity. Talking about systemic inequality and why nonprofits exist in the first place. Right. Our whole sector exists because of inequality. So digging deeper, like it says on the website, is super important. So it's not just, oh yeah, I packed a sandwich today and helped someone eat, thinking about why someone doesn't have access to food.
I'm so glad you do what you do. It's important and it matters. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Tori.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, you take care.
Thanks.
Now, if people want more information, all you have to do is go to handsontwincities.org. Handsontwincities.org and learn as much as you can about it. That was Tori Hansen, Senior Corporate Project Planner of Hands On Twin Cities. And here we are talking about volunteers. They are very good at getting volunteers. And that's wonderful because these days, you know, people, not only employees are having a hard time hiring people because not a lot of people are applying, but also volunteers. It's not easy to get volunteers sometimes. And when you do, when you really get a chance to see how important it is, my goodness, I have to tell you, I told her just a moment ago, I had a chance to join another organization, Girls in Action and Power of the People, and I had such a great time volunteering again. It just felt good, and I hope others will do the same. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. It is now 7:55 here at WCCO. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And as we wrap up this hour, I was curious to look up, Jonathan, exactly why it's difficult to retain the retention of volunteers. It's really hard to retain them. And I'm just curious to know about that. One company says, well, how do you attract and retain volunteers? You encourage emotional investment. People are willing to help when they are invested in the cause. Number two, ask personally, you know, ask them personally, would they be a part of it? Number three, be specific. Number four, match people with opportunity. Wow, that can't be easy. Number five, provide event specifics. Number six, share the chain of command. Oh, wow. Number seven, receive volunteer input. And number eight is to thank them. And I do agree with most of this list. Do you?
It sounds like what you should do. I have never been in the business, in the position to tell people or put people in position to volunteer. I shouldn't say never. I think I might have done that back in high school, but that was a different situation. It can be difficult to get people to volunteer and give of their time and give of their resources. I just think it's people who go out and do that are usually the best of us all.
And, yeah, I agree with that. And it's like a godsend, you know.
And so that's a rare breed. It really is a rare breed.
I agree with that, but I do love it. The people that volunteered at the event that I did the other day for Girls in Action and Power of the People, it really was remarkable how they really just held. They stuck in there, and they were there from noon to 4, I think it was, and it was amazing. I loved it. So thank you so much to Girls in Action and Dr. Verna Price. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of that. All right, everyone, the 8 o'clock hour is coming up, and our first guest is Dr. Luigi Romolo, Minnesota State climatologist. A lot to talk about. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. It is now 7:55 here at WCCO. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And as we wrap up this hour, I was curious to look up, Jonathan, exactly why it's difficult to retain the retention of volunteers. It's really hard to retain them. And I'm just curious to know about that. One company says, well, how do you attract and retain volunteers? You encourage emotional investment. People are willing to help when they are invested in the cause. Number two, ask personally, you know, ask them personally, would they be a part of it? Number three, be specific. Number four, match people with opportunity. Wow, that can't be easy. Number five, provide event specifics. Number six, share the chain of command. Oh, wow. Number seven, receive volunteer input. And number eight is to thank them. And I do agree with most of this list. Do you?
It sounds like what you should do. I have never been in the business in the position to tell people or put people in position to volunteer. I shouldn't say never. I think I might have done that back in high school, but that was a different situation. It can be difficult to get people to volunteer and give of their time and give of their resources. I just think it's people who go out and do that are usually the best of us all.
And, yeah, I agree with that. It's like a godsend, you know.
And so that's a rare breed. It really is a rare breed.
I agree with that, but I do love it. The people that volunteered at the event that I did the other day for Girls in Action and Power of the People, it really was remarkable how they really just held. They stuck in there, and they were there from noon to 4, I think it was, and it was amazing. I loved it. So thank you so much to Girls in Action and Dr. Verna Price. Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of that. All right, everyone, the 8 o'clock hour is coming up, and our first guest is Dr. Luigi Romolo, Minnesota State climatologist. A lot to talk about. We'll be back.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.